Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into the program. Dan Wolkin of USA Today, college football expert and columnist, joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. He is on Twitter at Dan Wolkin.
Hey, Dan, welcome, and thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time this morning. Dan, my partner over here, John Fricke, he's put it out there, and now everybody's reacting to it. Does Alabama get in, win or lose?
I think the way it sets up, there's a very good possibility of that, yeah, because look at the other teams that are in the mix. You've got Oklahoma, a team with just an atrocious defense. There's no other way to say it, and I enjoy Oklahoma. I think it's a great program. Kyler Murray, I think he would do a lot of damage to every team that's left, but they've given up 40 points 4 weeks in a row. They just can't stop anybody, and I don't know if anyone really wants to see them in a playoff setting against a team like Alabama where, I mean, they're liable to give up a touchdown every single possession. And then you've got Ohio State, a team that has been team turmoil all year long. They obviously found themselves at the right time against Michigan and played a tremendous game last Saturday, but they did lose by 30 points to Purdue earlier this season. They have not been impressive most of the weeks they've played. I don't think anyone's just clamoring to see that team in the playoff. So if you end up with Georgia winning this game and you look at one loss Alabama versus one loss Oklahoma and one loss Ohio State, I think it's going to be hard to keep Alabama out.
Yeah, depending, Dan, I agree. Depending on the quality of the loss, I mean, you know, if suddenly Alabama pulls a Michigan and gets run out of the building, that might change things. But, of course, nobody foresees that happening. Most people don't even foresee Alabama losing. They're a double-digit favorite to win. And it may be a moot point on top of that. But what bothers me, Dan Wolkin of USA Today with John and Randy Mack this morning, what bothers me as a college football fan is that ever since the inception of the college football playoff, this committee set forth rules, Dan, that they don't follow. You had to be a conference champion was one that they wanted to try to enforce, and they've taken two teams that didn't even make the conference title game, and now the no rematch rule would be in play. We don't want rematches. Well, it's exactly what you get. You might get a semifinal rematch on top of that. So I just wish they maybe dispense with the rules and just say, look, the rules are we're taking the four best teams regardless. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of what they're supposed to do. Now, obviously, they have different emphasis points and things that are supposed to be tiebreakers, but the bottom line is this committee can do whatever they want to do. It was set up in a vague way to say the four best teams are the ones who make the playoff, and I think they did that, frankly, to avoid a situation where, like a few years ago, if you remember, more than a few now, but when a Wisconsin team that I think finished, you know, 8-5, beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, and they end up going to the Rose Bowl, you know, and they're an 8-5 team who was a conference champion, but they weren't good enough if there was a playoff to be a playoff team. So, you know, they put in all these different contingencies to say, okay, we want the four best teams. It'd be nice if you're a conference champion. It'd be nice if you only had one loss. It'd be nice if you played a good schedule, but ultimately, at the end of the day, there's going to be exceptions, and they're going to try to figure out the best possible field they can. I wish it could be a situation where, and I know this is totally implausible, but okay, this year there's probably about six playoff-worthy teams. Why not have a six-team playoff and then just do the bracket however you want to do it? You know, give two teams byes but have six teams in. That, to me, makes the most sense. Some years it'll be four. Some years it'll be eight. Some years it might be two. But that's what I would prefer. That's not going to happen. But this is a year where you could have six teams who are, you know, quote, qualified to be in the playoff, but only four are going to get in, and so two qualified teams are going to get left out.
Hey, Dan, you're talking about contingency planning. Let's just throw this out. What if Alabama does beat Georgia and both Oklahoma and Ohio State lose? Then what do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the odds of that are low,
right.
And because you know you've got Ohio State playing Northwestern, who they should beat. Oklahoma is a 7.5 point favorite, although they did lose to Texas earlier in the year. So yeah, I mean, look, anything can happen at that point. Yeah, I mean, it would be really interesting, wouldn't it? I think you would probably get one of those two lost teams in. I mean, heck, maybe Texas jumps back into the conversation at that point. I think it's highly unlikely. But as a Big 12 champion, they'd be a two-loss team would have a chance. So I don't know. It's an interesting proposition.
And then there's Central Florida.
Yeah, the problem with Central Florida, and again, I mean, this would be one of those years where, yeah, if everything fell apart, you know, maybe they're a team that is sitting there waiting in the wings. But, you know, unfortunately, without Mackenzie Milton, who knows what kind of team they really are, and just a really awful injury for him in that game against South Florida last weekend, and you know the early reports on it were bad, and there hadn't been a lot of specific information, but obviously he's not going to play. I don't know how you can really evaluate a Central Florida team that doesn't have a quarterback that was really the engine for everything they do, even if they beat Memphis. So I don't think in this particular circumstance you can really include UCF.
Talking with Dan Wolkin, USA Today columnist, about the college football playoff. Championship week starts on Friday night with the Pac-12. Winner there goes to the Rose Bowl. That's all they've got left in the Pac-12 here. You keep leaving the Big Ten champion 12-1 out, and you're going to have a problem, Dan.
Well, look, the conference commissioners, when I was at all these meetings, you know, 2012, 2013, you know, I went to Chicago and Pasadena and Phoenix or Dallas, all these places where they had all these meetings to put the playoff together. You know, they sat in that room for hours and talked about all the different contingencies, and they talked about all the different things. Hey, look, you could have years where two teams get in from one league. You could have years where Notre Dame gets in and two leagues get left out. They thought about all that stuff. They talked about it. So I would be surprised if just because a league gets left out with a conference champion, that's what forces the change. I mean, look, I think the practical reality of where we are with the playoff is all these guys, Jim Delaney, John Swofford from the ACC, you know, Larry Scott from the Pac-12, you know, they put in the work to get the playoff, to go from the BCS to the playoff, and they made it what it is. And they're all basically close to retirement age. They're not going to be there in 5 years. And they don't want to do the work to make this thing bigger and better. They're going to leave that to the next generation of people who run these Power 5 conferences, whoever that is. So I don't think anything's going to change until the leadership changes, which is unfortunate. But I just think that's the reality of where this thing is.
Dan, going back to what John just talked about, the Big Ten, are we to believe that this Ohio State team is going to show up for this game like they did last week? And are they forgiven for that loss to Purdue?
Well, I don't know how you can forgive them for the loss to Purdue because it wasn't an anomaly.
Right.
I mean, it's not like this team had played, you know, tremendous football. It's not like they had looked like Alabama or Clemson all season. And then all of a sudden they walk into, you know, a buzzsaw in Purdue and it came out of nowhere. I mean, I don't think people expected Ohio State to lose that game, but they had played pretty mediocre football by their standards all season long. I mean, they had been loose, they had been sloppy, they had been uninspired, their defense had been bad. So it wasn't like that totally came out of nowhere. That seemed more like the dam breaking on a whole bunch of issues that had piled up for a long time. Now, they're obviously capable of playing better, as they showed against Michigan. I still think their defense has major, major question marks. And we'll see if coming off that high of beating Michigan in the game that matters to them the most, whether they can get back up and play the same way against Northwestern. I don't think they will. But, again, Northwestern, God bless them, is not a particularly representative opponent of what they're going to face in a potential playoff game.
You know, it'd be fascinating if Alabama lost this game to Georgia, Dan Wolkin of USA Today, and won the national title again to show you that apparently not even the best team in your league could do it twice, and actually three times because Ohio State back in 2015 did the same thing. So I guess these leagues don't, the league championship doesn't matter. That's all you can, that's the only thing you can get to.
Well, they call it a playoff, but it's really an invitational. I mean, that's the reality.
You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yeah, that's no, that's what it is. Very true. And until they go to eight, we're going to, you know, and or two. By the way, one quick question, because I think that when I say that they're going to have a problem with it, I think one of the things that we as college football fans, Dan, are going to have to face is the call for Super Conference, because I think that's coming, which is 5 16-team leagues going to go force Notre Dame's hand. And I think we're going to see that, because you can't do this to the non power five leagues. You can't do it. You can't have a team go unbeaten twice in a row and tell them that they're part of Division One. That's just not fair.
Well, I mean, look, again, we'll see. They discussed all these scenarios. They knew that all this was going to happen at some point. What I think is interesting about the super conferences is we're coming up on, you know, television rights deals potentially over the next 5 years that get renewed and changed. What does the media landscape look like? What does the digital landscape look like? One of the things that's been out there, you know, kind of, in the future is instead of doing conference by conference television rights, to essentially pool them like the NFL does, because you can maybe get a better negotiating position, as opposed to, all right, the ACC is negotiating with ESPN, and the SEC is negotiating with CBS and ESPN and Fox, and everyone's going to do their own thing. If you have all the most highly valued teams within the same deal, and only one network can get them, what does that do to the price? And in that case, why is it 64 or 65? I mean, do you really need Iowa State? Do you really need Ole Miss? So that's where I think things could get interesting. Why 64? Why not 32? Because for television, it would probably be the same value split up fewer different ways.
Do appreciate it, Dan. Thanks very much. Dan Wolgut of USA Today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.